Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're one of those people that has ever watched any of the cheesy, scary movies, horror movies, I know like some people can't stand them, never would watch them. Some of you probably have watched a number of them. But if you ever watched any of them, you'll know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen a familiar scene in a lot of those movies. And it'll be some poor guy or girl who is in the house by themselves, and of course it's late at night and stuff, and then there's some bad guy that's outside. And they've got all the doors locked, you know, and they're trying to, they think they're safe inside, they're trying to keep the bad guy out, you know, they keep checking all the windows, seeing if they can see the bad guy out there. Except then all of a sudden there comes this like, you know, chilling scene, right, where they're looking out the window, looking for the bad guy, and they show behind them and there's the bad guy already in the house, right? There's that chilling scene, and most likely then there comes like some kind of loud scream or something like this, okay? Well, I bring it up because I'm not sure if the disciples in the upper room screamed or not, but that was their similar experience, okay? They're hiding out in a room, they've got the doors locked, and they're scared because the religious leaders, the Jews, are out there and they're scared they're going to do the same thing to them they did to Jesus, you know, and they're frightened. They're probably checking the windows and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes, just like in that typical scary movie, this moment where they realize that what they should fear the most is already inside the room. Because all of a sudden, you know, Jesus appears and they're scared out of their wits. You know, they were thinking, oh, we got to be scared of, you know, the big bad religious leaders outside. But no, there was something much more to fear already in the room. Remember what they had done to Jesus. One of their own had betrayed him, Judas. One of their own had denied knowing him 3 different times. That's Peter, of course. All of them had run away from him when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They all abandoned him. All of them had not believed him when he had said countless times, at least 3 times, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to die, and then he'd rise again on the 3rd day. None of them believed him. And so here they are, cowering in the room, and all of a sudden, you know, here is going to appear this guy that they've denied, betrayed, abandoned, not believed. Are you going to be a little scared? You know, they might have liked to think that the bad guys were all out there. But what they were really scared of was Jesus and themselves and their guilt and their shame. And I think this should be really important to you and me because we do the exact same thing. Okay, what we do is we like to think that we're scared of everything out there. It's everything out there that's the problem. Everything outside our walls and our doors. That's where all the real problems are, right? And this is the way we always talk, oh man, our world is going to pot. Everything's falling apart, right? Oh, what a cesspool it is out there, right? Oh, man, I'll give you some examples. Oh, have you seen some of the movies that are coming out? Oh, they're full of violence and sex and cursing. It's terrible, you know? I've only seen half of them, right? Something like that. Or we see these politicians running for office and we say, oh, man, these guys are terrible. They're crooks. They're liars. You know, dirty, terrible people. Our country is just going to ruins, right? Or, man, have you seen the stuff on the internet? Oh, gosh, such a horrible place. I try not to go there much, right? And Christians are guilty as anyone of this. We always do this. We like to make it out that all of the problems are outside these walls, right? Oh, if we could just take care of whatever it would be, abortion or same-sex marriage or X, Y, and Z. If we could just take care of those, then the world would be such a better place. But what I want you to understand is it's very much like one of these scary scenes from a horror movie. We don't realize that the thing we should fear most is already inside. The real evil, the real horror movie is right in here, in each and every one of our hearts. That's the thing that should be scaring us. The thing that we should really be afraid of is that all that stuff we detest out in the world can all actually be found also right here in my heart. All the hatred, all the immorality, all the evil, it's already in our locked doors. So we, like the disciples, would like to think it's all out there. That's what we're scared of. But sitting there like the disciples, we forget It's us who haven't trusted God. It's us who haven't believed his word. It's us who have been hateful, greedy, gossiping, selfish, immoral. We forget that the real enemy is us. So, Jesus comes. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if some of the disciples did scream. Because, you know, all of a sudden he's there. You know, he's not there. They're all worried. They're all scared. And then Jesus is here. He just appears. I think you and I would scream too. Now, granted, we all know that right now, Jesus is right here with us. Very much, truly, he is here. And yet, if he were to appear where we saw him with our eyes, I think a lot of us would scream. And one of our first thoughts would be, what's he going to say to us? What's he going to say to me? And that's where the disciples were. They were scared. But what does Jesus say? He says, peace. Peace be to you. Now, this is a common greeting, okay? Don't make too much of it. It's just like when somebody comes to your house and you open the door to them and they say, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad to be here. I mean, it's the Hebrew greeting shalom, right? If you've heard of that before. It's just a warm, welcome greeting that tells the disciples, don't be scared. Everything is okay. All is well. And he shows them his hands and his side and says, look, it's me. And I'm well and I'm risen and you are forgiven. Peace be with you. And then he talks about forgiving because that's what it's really all about. They're scared, but Jesus says, look, as the Father has sent me to forgive you, I'm sending you to forgive other sinners. So go back, think in your mind of that scary movie scene again. So here's the disciples, right? They're locked in the room. They're scared. They're checking the windows. Oh, the Jews are going to come and get us. Scared of what they've done. But all of a sudden, you get this change in the movie, and here's Jesus, and there's hope, and there's joy. And he says, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. I've come to forgive you and give you peace. And that's what happens when Jesus comes to you and me too. See, he deals with the real fears. We think all the problems are out there and we're scared of everything out there, but he comes into our locked hearts and says, no, here's the problem. And I'm telling you, peace be with you. He comes to forgive all of that sin and take away those fears. And I want to make a point to you this morning that I think is an important point. Never will Jesus be more real to you than when he forgives your sins. He will never be more real than when he forgives your sins. See, there's this huge push in churches today that we need to make Jesus more real. We need to make him more relevant because, of course, you know, it's no secret. Churches are dying. There's people, you know, in America, the number of Christians is going down. So we got to do something about this. We have to make Jesus more relevant to people's lives. And there's this assumption that older churches like us, frankly, like Trinity Lutheran Church and others, that we're not in the real world anymore, that we're behind the times, we're not helping people in their real lives in the real world, we're not relevant. So what should churches be doing? Well, you see what more modern churches are doing, right? They try to make things more real in a number of ways. Well, we'll make it more real by using more modern music that people are used to, right, that they listen to in their, quote, real lives. So we'll use more pop-sounding music, we'll use bands, stuff like this, and we're hoping that this will make Jesus more real, more relevant to you, because you'll recognize it more. And then we'll get rid of the pews, because no one sits in pews anymore, and we'll use, you know, movie theater-type seating, right, with huge sounds, big lights, because that's going to be more real to people, because that's what we're more used to. And actually, if you see what a lot of churches are doing, they're using a lot of movies. A lot of their services will have one or two videos in it because, well, that's what people are used to. That's what's more real to them because we watch so much TV, frankly. And then we forget the Lord's Supper because that's not really real. All you're really doing there is just taking bread and, you know, bread and wine. You're remembering Jesus. That's not real. So even if we do it, we're going to do it really quick and not make a big deal of it about it. And then we'll have not a sermon, but we'll have a 30 to 40 minute message about making Jesus more real in your life. If you do X, Y, and Z, he'll be more real to you. Now, I want to tell you that I adamantly believe that is wrong. I believe those churches are wrong and they're missing it. They're wrong about making Jesus real and relevant because it's not going to happen through any music or movies or seating or emotions or moving messages. It's not going to happen. You don't make Jesus real by trying to dress him up. You don't have to make him relevant. Go back to what I said, and I absolutely believe it to be true. You only need his word and his sacrament where he forgives sins because he will never be more real than when he forgives your sins. Because see, in the word and the sacrament, you're not just receiving a feeling of Jesus, you're receiving Jesus himself. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. He tells his disciples, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. I am sending you. That's Jesus himself, okay? He doesn't come through music or movies or emotions. He comes through the forgiveness of sin. When you come up to this altar, for example, see, we come like the disciples. We're scared. We've got guilt. We've got shame. When you come that way and you know that the real scary thing is not everything out there in the world, but me and my heart, and you hear Jesus, this is my body, this is my blood given for you, you're never going to find him more real than that. Right there, him himself in the bread and wine, forgiving your sin. See, my job isn't to send you out into the real world, like this isn't the real world. Now my job, okay, I'm going to send you out. You go now into the real world. That's a common misunderstanding. My job is to bring the real world to you. Because Jesus is the real world, to bring the real Jesus to you through preaching and the sacrament. That's the job. That's why Jesus says, I'm sending you, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. He will never be more real than in the forgiveness of our sins. And these verses are also, I would be remiss not to mention, they are a good reminder why pastors are actually important. Because Jesus sent his apostles, and now the church calls pastors to do the same thing, to bring forgiveness. Okay, his words are very clear. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they're forgiven. That means when you hear a pastor who has been called to do that very thing, to tell you personally that your sins are forgiven, that is a comforting word from God himself. Okay, that's what Jesus wants you to have, that assurance and comfort that all is well, that you are at peace. Because remember, the real problems are not just all out there. Okay? What you need isn't a Jesus who will keep the bad stuff away from you. You need a Jesus who deals with your bad stuff, who deals with our sin, who forgives us, who gives us peace, who tells us all is well, and then sends us into the world with him, with himself, with the real Jesus. And he does that right here in his word and in his sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.